then to love in return. And so we conclude this section. The last passage I will do tonight, we'll have a reflection after the break on all of this, but this is the last scene from the Gospel, 12 verses 1 to 8, dramatises what we've just looked at in, let's say, theory. Or here's an example. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. They're walking and working on the Sabbath. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to Jesus, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." Where have they been for the last two chapters? Where have I been for the last two chapters? Where have you been for the last two chapters? Where are we when we listen to the Gospel? Because we can be like this too. Well, they are. They're still locked. Not into bad things, but into things that are nothing like what's being revealed in Jesus. Your disciples are doing what's not lawful to do on the Sabbath. So Jesus pleads with them through Scripture, which is their expertise. Look, he says, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests. Find that in the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 21, if you want to read the story. Then he gives them another example from their own literature. Or, haven't you read in the law, the Torah, that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet they're guiltless? They're allowed to walk and work because they've got to do a lot of things. You'll find that in the book of Numbers, chapter 28. The work that priests have to do on the Sabbath. Simple arguments, sensible arguments. I tell you, there's something greater than the temple here. The presence of God in Jesus and his community is something more beautiful, more sacred than this temple building. If you, and here comes Matthew's key phrase, Jesus' key phrase. Matthew's trying to understand why Jesus, how he fitted in with the law and why he was able to be free from it and yet obey it. And this is the key text I've put in big, and it comes back. We're now reading chapter 12, verse 7. You'll find that again, we've already met it in chapter 9, verse 13. Same text quoted. It's from Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. God is, remember I gave you, you mightn't remember, but the three meanings for mercy, three Hebrew words, all chesed, hanan, and rachem. It means God's covenant love, promised and never taken back. It means God's favor, God's gracious ways of dealing with us, and it means rechem, it means the compassion, the feeling of a mother for the child in her womb, the aching love that God has for us. All of that is contained in this word mercy. And Jesus says, look, God is about mercy. Get it straight, you people, please. They're hungry, let them eat. And no law can stand in the way of that. And if it does, forget about it, because God wants hungry people to be fed. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. If you'd known that, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I just want to take another 3 or 4 minutes now to talk about the Sabbath and its importance. Then we'll break. And then if you wish to come back, I intend spending the last period on the law and Matthew and the dramatic change in Christianity from the Jewish Torah. But firstly, why was the Sabbath so important? It's a key text. Well, in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 21, we find the oldest legal statement about the Sabbath, and it's this: on the seventh day you shall rest, even in ploughing time and in harvest time you shall rest. It seems to have been a very, very, very early welfare state direction, because not only you had to rest, but your slaves had to rest, your children had to rest, the mules had to rest, the donkeys had to rest. It was a way of stopping people, grinding people into the ground 7 days a week. Everyone had the right to recreation, love, prayer, and whatever could happen on a day when nobody was allowed to work or make anyone else work, even at really important times like ploughing and harvest. This day, no work. Now, there are refinements of that in later law, but after the exile, just to give you the history of it, after they came back from Babylon, the Sabbath took on a far more significant meaning, and this is really the beginnings of the Sabbath as the Jewish community still hold it. It was post-exilic. Because when they came back from the exile, the Persian governors or kings let them go back to Palestine, but they had to tell what their law was. They had to have a constitution. They had to explain to the Persian what their laws were, and they had to live by them. They were given control over their internal affairs, as other countries were too, as long as somebody at the centre knew what the laws were and that they were kept for law and order in the community. That's probably one of the big dynamics of the actual formation of the Bible. Under that pressure from the Persians, a lot of oral tradition was written down, and a lot of the ancient traditions were formed into the books we now know as the Torah in the exile and in the post-exilic period. Well, included in that, the Sabbath emerges as a key, because the Sabbath was something really special to Jews. It was something that you could recognize a Jew by. It, along with circumcision, was understood as essential elements of the self-identity of the Judahites or the Jews. So special temple sacrifices were instituted in the period of the Second Temple. Synagogue prayer was set aside for the Sabbath especially, and that was formed then, the liturgy grew. It was a day to be consecrated to God, the Sabbath day. And it was, most importantly, a symbol of the commitment of the people to keep their part of the covenant. And we read this in Exodus chapter 31, a quite beautiful statement on the Sabbath, and I think the key statement on it. You shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, given in order that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Whoever does any work on it shall be cut off from among the people. Therefore, the Israelites shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. And it's still very sacred to Jews right through to today, and obviously at the time of Jesus. Keeping the Sabbath meant keeping your part, our part, of the covenant with God, the sacred communion with God. And then it got surrounded by all these minutiae of laws, and they wanted to make sure they didn't offend God, so we shouldn't do this, we won't do that. And then they became more and more insecure and bundled more and more and more rules on to be absolutely certain. If you're not going to jump off the cliff, well, then you build a fence a foot back from the cliff to keep you safe. But then you can build another fence 2 feet back from the cliff to keep you away from that fence so that you won't go over the cliff. Then you build another fence 5 yards back, so that if you happen to break through that fence accidentally, you've still got 2 fences that stop you falling over the cliff. And after a while, and don't we all remember this, there were about 700 fences between us and the cliff to keep us safe. The trouble is we were getting cornered because there were cliffs all around us and there's only about an inch to move in any direction. That's how they were getting more. The goodwill was there not to offend God, but perspective had been lost. Isaiah in chapter 58, verse 13, has this to say of God speaking through Isaiah. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy days, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. The purpose of the Sabbath was to delight in God's covenant. Jesus knew that. Jesus delighted in the covenant of God by sharing food with people on the Sabbath, by walking through a grain field on a Sabbath, by curing people on the Sabbath. He got to the heart of the law and the heart of the covenant and the heart of the love of God that wanted to be incarnate in our world. But sadly, a lot of the people around him still stayed with the fences and the safety and the traditions that kept them secure from offending God. But they weren't letting God love them. And so, as you take your break now, we'll come back if you wish, and I'll try and share some thoughts with you on